All right, hello, and welcome to episode 4 of the Has Opinions podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Daniel.
And I am the other guy, Chris.
And each week we talk about stuff that we have opinions on. So getting started this week, Chris, how are things going over there?
Things are going all right for the most part. Today has been a little frustrating on the getting work done while having kids in the house front. But, I mean, not too bad. It kind of always goes like that. Today's been particularly frustrating, but
kind of to be expected, but you try and not let it affect you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, cool. Well, on that note, why don't we talk about sort of a business update real quick?
Right. Yeah. So business updates were a thing I wanted to do because we both have businesses and I just like kind of shooting the shit about that. We can be like a little mini mastermind.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So, I'll go first, I guess. Do you want to go first?
Yeah, why don't you go for it?
Okay, so I actually don't have too much to update. I released my last thing, my last side project. Well, first off, I have a full-time job, right? So that's ongoing. That's mm-hmm. my ongoing recurring revenue that takes up the most time. And the side stuff, the servers for hacker stuff, I put out a course in, I don't know, March or February or something. And that kind of like at this point late in the year has dropped to like very few sales per week. You know, I'll get 4 sales between my 2 main courses per week, something like that. Nothing mm-hmm. huge, maybe a little more, mm-hmm. maybe a little less. And I'm working on the thing that we talked about last time, my SQL backups course. Mm-hmm. So that is a few things for any course leading up to it, right? So it's like, A, doing the work of making videos and all that kind of stuff. While I make videos, I try to market it. So sometimes I'll just tweet some like tweet tips and that kind of stuff, or send out emails and give away a free video that's made and that kind of thing. So I'm working up to getting to being able to do that kind of pre-launch marketing-y type stuff. Mm-hmm. Everything takes months, the whole process. So doing that kind of marketing along the way and keeping people interested is, you know, it's really beneficial.
Cool. So do you plan any updates to previous courses, like Servers for Hackers, or get a new version, or is that just another mountain of work?
So the Servers for Hackers book is one thing I do update, but it's more like every 2 years because it's on the LTS, the long-term support train, I don't know, whatever. It's on that cycle for Ubuntu servers because the book is centered around Ubuntu. So mm-hmm. 18.04 just got released this year, so I did an update for that back in, well, leading up to June or July, something around there. I think in July I released it. So 2 years from now, I might do a 20.04 Ubuntu 20.04 update to the book when that gets out. We'll see. I may just lose interest because that's 2 years away. And this book is working on 4 or 6 years now. Mm-hmm. Might be 4. No, it might be 6. Holy crap. Wow. Okay. So, but then I have all my other courses, right? So I have free stuff and Servers for Hackers, which is a lot of stuff, and that gets aged. Then I have the premium courses, and that actually is a mix because some of the premium courses have some free stuff that's on the main Servers for Hackers site, and then some of the parts of it is paid, but all of it kind of needs updating at some point, and that's hard. You know, there's so much. At this point, I have multiple courses and multiple hours of content each. So some of that can get done little by little, but since Wesley was born, not so much.
Yeah. I'm not really hearing the passive of the passive income here, Chris. Like, and then all these you say update several times, and that doesn't dive with the passive part.
Passive income.
Yeah. Oh, so cool. That's that. I'm excited to see the new course come out for the MySQL stuff. So
yeah, me too. Oh, well, no, we'll talk about it a little bit.
Okay.
More fun this week related to that.
Oh, nice, nice. A little teaser for future. So keep listening. So my update is, so I'd say my day job is running a WooCommerce agency. So we do client work with stuff with WooCommerce sites that are established. But my side hustle is my plugin marketplace, because that's something that I want to make more automated, make more of something that I work on instead of, you know, in the business there. I have some contractors that help me with plugin updates, new feature development, but I'm still sort of the bottleneck on everything, where I have to review stuff, do support tickets, and check for update compatibility and things like that. A little background on that. We launched in February of 2015 and got to a point where we were doing quite a bit more monthly revenue than now. So we think we closed in on 7,000 to 8,000 a month at the peak, and then it started tapering off. And the person that I launched with, we parted ways earlier this year. So he took his plugins and I kept mine. So it's been definitely a reboot, but it's now wholly mine and everything's on my shoulders. And if I don't do it or have somebody do it for me, it doesn't get done. It's sort of been a challenge mentally to get re-interested in it, even though I don't do a lot of updates and I kind of let support sit for longer than it should, support tickets sit, but it's still making pretty good money. So for the effort that I put into it. So it's established, there's a lot of things to be done for it. So what I really want to do is launch a couple of more plugins. There's also new plugins that we have in the queue that need to get launched so they can get attention from Google. I can do videos and promotion for them and try and build up their sales. So that's the, you know, that's sort of, and all this happens sort of after my normal day job, because the normal day job takes the agency takes all of my main time. So,
yeah.
So the plugin marketplace is definitely a nights and weekends type of thing, which there's not that much at that time. So the main update on that is that I need to pay attention to it and do some updates. So that I will hopefully get some organization around that and figure out what the main idea is. Like, do we launch more plugins? Do we fix up the ones that we currently have launched? You know, what's the next step?
Yeah. And also, like, is that going to be, well, do you have a goal for that, for it to overtake other income or become a larger share of like your revenue, all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I want it to be as automated as possible, meaning eventually hire somebody to handle support tickets and keep the current developers who do security updates and feature updates and then new development. So that's already sort of in other people's hands.
Mm-hmm.
But then the revenue to get to a point where it can sort of pay my monthly income, like my personal monthly income. So that's just a revenue goal. Anything I do on the client project side is just gravy. It's just extra.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better goal, that's sort of the goal now. I could sell it as is to somebody else who wants to get into the plugin business or expand their plugin business. There's a lot of options. It's just, what do I do with it until then? So
cool. Interesting.
We also talked in the previous episodes about money topics and finance and personal finance stuff. And so I mentioned sort of in the pre-show that this week for you has been, you know, sort of challenged by family stuff. And for me, my week's been challenged with car stuff. So Saturday we had sort of an incident with our main car because we're a one car family, and it was still drivable, more of a cosmetic thing, but definitely made us realize that our main car is 15 years old. It had 157,000 miles. It was running fine, we think, but it's probably due for another breakdown. It was just going to cost us a lot of money. And then I went back and added up all the money that we've had this car for 4 years, added up all the money that we put into it. And that was kind of a jaw dropping moment for me to see like the break point. You know, it was an $8,000 car to begin with. And the break point of spending more than we bought it for was last year. And I just didn't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I should have sold it last year. I should have gotten into a newer car. And then I would have saved the money that I spent this year on repairing it. So, and I even had my mechanic, I took it to the mechanic like twice this year. And the second time he's like, I'm really surprised you're having me fix this car again. Like, he told me that. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. It's our main car. Just be quiet.
Nice.
So, yeah. So like, just, there's just so much cost in that. Like, since we have one car, we have to get a rental car, which they know me now, because this is, I think, the third time this year, or fourth time this year I've used it, the rental car agency, local here. So yeah, it is a frustrating part of life that you have to have transportation.
Oh my God. Especially in San Antonio.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a bunch to unpack here. One, the decision to be a single family car. A single family mm-hmm. car, whatever. What was that decision like? Like, I know you probably made it years ago.
We did, yeah. So I started working for myself 10 years ago, and my wife at the same time. The reason I did that was my wife gave birth to our first kiddo, and we decided that she was going to stay home and be a stay-at-home mom. And then since they grew up, we had two more kids, and they had to, go to school, we decided to homeschool. So I work from home. She works from home homeschooling, we're all here, so we really don't need two cars. So as my beloved Mustang convertible reached the end of its life and died, we just didn't replace it, so we had one car.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know if you guys had like done some math on that, or if you just like kind of figured, you know, in general, cars are obviously an expense, so like getting rid of one would be nice, right? But I don't know if you did some math or like figure it out on like new car versus used car math. Actually, let's talk about that next. You got used cars instead of new cars.
Yeah, we did reactive math, meaning, holy crap, we don't have enough in the bank account to buy a car.
Right.
And we don't like borrowing money, so we don't borrow any money. So it was just a matter of we were forced into it. But as we made that choice, it wasn't a hard choice. Like, it was okay.
Cool.
So,
Most recently... I mean, I think by now you probably had the opportunity to be a two-family car. I don't know if you have or not, or if you guys have even thought about it.
We had thought about it, but we didn't want
to. Two-family car, a two-car family.
Two-car family.
Yeah, wow. Yeah. Okay, good job, Chris. Anyway,
two-family car is a whole other ball of wax. It's a whole other kind of life, okay. But since then I've definitely done math on it and done a lot of reading just on, you know, just listening to a lot of Dave Ramsey podcasts, reading through. I just finished reading I Will Teach You to Be Rich by Ramit Sethi and other books that talk about, you know, the cost of owning a car. Mm-hmm. And so we're sort of just in the role of we just buy used cars at least 2 years old. Well, when we bought our last car, we bought it in 2014. It was 11 years old. Mm-hmm. So we moved up from a 02 Camry to an 03 Suburban.
Nice.
And then drove that for 4 years. So, and we just bought a car last night. So we found a car that ticked all our boxes. So we walked in, wrote a check, and bought a car.
Nice.
So,
Another
used one. Yeah. So this was a 2012. So it's nice to be in this decade of car ownership. And it had under 100,000 miles and it sat eight people, had a rear view camera and a DVD player. So like those were our main things.
Cause right.
my wife does most of the driving. She carts a bunch of kids around, ours and other people's kids. So having seating and entertainment for them is really high on the priority list. So, and yeah, we could have gone minivan, but we decided never to do that.
Right.
So, it's a style issue. So
nice. Yeah, of course. So the math part's always interesting because at one point you were doing some math on like if just using a Lyft for the year was like worth it with like how little travel you did, right? And the expense was still less than owning a car. You still need one car, right? Because you have family and they have to go places. Mm-hmm. But just kind of like removing yourself from even needing that by just doing your daily stuff using Lyft seemed like an interesting decision too.
It did. Yeah. I mean, it's the same amount of time, like in travel time, and just add the wait time. So maybe add a 5 to 10 minute wait time for the Lyft to get to you, but it's the same amount of travel time going to, so for me, it's going to a co-working space.
Right.
And it's the same amount of travel time, then add in the average of those rides. And then multiply that out by getting there, getting home, and then however many times I go a week. And it was not a terrible expense. Like, it was something that I could probably put under the business expense as, you know, commuting to the job or
For sure.
Part of going to work.
Everything's a business expense. All the things.
Until you get out of it, but yeah.
Yeah, right. Maybe. I think it's still pretty legit, that use.
Yeah, so it's interesting because where we live, especially where I live, I'm in a subdivision, so if I can walk to the entrance of my subdivision, but then at that point, there's nothing there. There's no businesses, there's no commerce happening, there's no parks. It's just another long road to get to another subdivision. And so the car is really mandatory, and it's really sort of a depressing thought.
Yeah.
And we thought about relocating to somewhere else where it's more urban, but haven't pulled the trigger on that. So.
Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. We like the more urban areas too, but especially in San Antonio, that seems like kind of a tough thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, especially the trade-off of like the type of houses to get that's more urban and like or apartments and money and all that and how expensive they are.
Yeah, so transportation just turns into this huge line item in your budget that just takes money out.
Yeah, definitely. And then, I just like, I don't know. You grew up with this temptation to like get the car that you could, the most car you could possibly afford in your budget. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why that is so hard to shake. It's just like constantly like, oh yeah, I could maybe swing a Mercedes. And then you're like, no, why the fuck would you do that? Mm-hmm, like spend that much money and like have that insurance cost and the, you know, all the other costs and stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think when you, okay. So there's like two brains working there, right? So when my wife, okay, I'm sort of outing her, but she's the one that sort of had the issue with the car on Saturday. When she had the issue and sort of caused a little bit of damage to the car, she was thinking with one brain, and I've used this brain too, of like, F it, let's just get a car. I need something that works. I need something that's safe, like that doesn't have this ding in it, that doesn't have these issues, that's not going to break down. Just get something. Just get me a nice car. And nice is relative. You can stretch nice over like $40,000 worth of car, you know? Nice, it's very elastic. And then there's the other brain, was sort of, I told her at that point, like, don't worry, accidents happen, like, we're cool. Let's sleep on this, and then we'll make some decisions tomorrow. Then the other brain kicked in of, like, okay, how much of our net worth do we want invested in these things that go down in value? Like, they're just going to go, they're just going to keep reducing in value. They're never going to go up. So how much do we want to throw out the window in order to get us around? And so, we settled on a number and found something that fit our lifestyle and our desires and in that number. So that's sort of how we got there.
I like that thinking a lot. And actually, the book, have you read The Millionaire Next Door?
Yes.
So much. Mm-hmm. One large percentage of that book is just talking about how stupid buying cars is. Mm-hmm. I was really amazed of like how much this book just goes into cars. That's like 70% of the book.
Yeah. And then you drive around and you look at people and you're like, are you a millionaire Mercedes driver?
No.
Are you a millionaire Land Rover driver?
It really makes you recognize, like, no, this person's probably just made a terrible like life decision.
And they're saying no to years of compound interest because of the shiny wheels.
The metric that I like and that you just said is thinking about as a percentage of your net worth. I like that a lot. The book Millionaire Next Door recommended like, I don't know, 10% or something.
Yeah, 10 or less. So,
and I like that a lot because as you accumulate more, you kind of let yourself get a nicer car, maybe. Mm-hmm. But also, like, it gives you like a real realistic number. And that number for most of us is going to be like a used and really reliable car, but, you know, especially nothing especially fancy. Mm-hmm. And I like that thinking a lot. So that's what I'm going to be trying for the next car. So we are a two-car family. I said it right.
Yes, you did.
And I think what we're probably going to end up doing is we both keep our cars a long time. And our cars are 6 and 4 years old, 4.5 respectively. So maybe 7 and 4, something like that.
Did y'all buy new or used?
Yes. I've only ever... Well, no, I bought a used car in college after I crashed a different car. But since then, new cars. And we got to figure out next thing. So next car we're going to get is probably going to replace Natalie's car. Mm-hmm. And that will be a family car, almost definitely, because she, you know, wants to have something. We might do 3 rows. We might not. It depends. But we'll probably try to do for that. And I don't know if we'll get something used or new. We might keep that car new. When I replace my car, I'm going for that, you know, that percentage of net worth used, maybe like Toyota Camry, something like that. Because I don't drive, and like any time I've been in a car, it's like really nice for the first month after you get a car, and then you're like, oh, it's just a car, you don't even think about it. And then after that, you know, the scratches and everything, the dings get in the car, and it's just really disappointing. It's really nice when you don't have to care about that as much.
It is, yes.
So I really like that point of view. So every once in a while I'm like, get something nice eventually, but I'm like, no, I have to like defer that or just never do it and just keep remembering of what a depreciating asset they are and how terrible of an expense a car is and the cost of ownership over time and all that garbage.
And sleeping on the decision for at least like a night or two really helps you to get back to that point. But we definitely have opinions on vehicles. So but
yeah, it's really, I mean, I never thought about it. I was always in the mindset of like, I'll just get whatever car I can afford at the time. And that's what I did the first new car I got was basically that, like what I could afford at the time. I paid it off. I was single and making not a ton of money, but my living expenses were so low that I was saving money and paying for the car, so it wasn't a big deal.
That was my Mustang convertible years. Same thing.
And then the second car, which the car I have now is just new. I didn't have as much of this mindset, and I kind of wish I did, but it still wasn't an expensive car. It's a Mazda. I got new. It was probably like 25. So by the time I out the door, taxes and everything, it was probably just under 30,000, which is more than I would want to spend now on a car. Just because I don't need to, you know?
That's true.
So yeah. I'm getting something cheap to use. So I'm still in a trap, right? Because the next car that we get will be the family car. It'll be something probably a little bigger, and I don't know what we'll spend for that. It'll probably be a little more than 10% of our net worth.
Are y'all gonna go minivan?
I don't think so. We're looking at three row cars right now, but of course, this is still a future thing that'll. Like, I don't know, 4 years from now or whatever, Natalie's car reaches about 10 years is when we're aiming to get a new one, unless something happens to it. And no, we're not looking at minivans. We're looking at more things, the more three rows that aren't those. So that is like the Subaru Ascent, which is a car that just came out. Just because we like Subarus.
Amanda tried to get me, she found a Subaru.
Yeah.
Like their three row thing that starts with a T.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that one. And I knew nothing of Subaru, so I was like, I have no idea. Right. I don't know. But yeah, she pulled that up. That was one of the options.
There's a bunch of them. There's I forget we were talking about it. There's another few we're looking at too. But we'll see, you know, a few years from now what's out there.
But in order to get ready for that decision, you can
start saving.
Yeah. And just have a pile of cash ready to make a cash decision or a huge debt payment or, you know, whatever you want. So
yeah, that's a good point. It really depends on what we're like a few years from now. This year, because of the tax change situation, I'm spending very little, well, a few reasons. I'm spending very little of the money I make in my side business because I don't know, because my accountant was like, you're going to get taxed a lot less this year. So don't worry about paying your quarterly estimated taxes, which is something I've done the last 2 years. And I don't know if I believe him.
Yeah, that's scary.
Or if he could really know. So I'm spending like nothing. So,
worst case scenario, you have the money to pay it.
Yeah, best case scenario, right.
You have a lot of money.
Yep. So, and the other thing is that house stuff hasn't been too wonky. Last year we spent so much on house stuff, and this year we might have to actually redo, fix or replace one of the air conditioners, and that's a big expense, but we'll see. But so far I haven't had any big expenses, so I've just been sitting on whatever cash I make for that, which is nice. And if I can keep doing that for the next few years, then we'll, you know, maybe get a car, maybe just do a big down payment. I don't know.
Yeah. So sort of as the last point on cars. Oh yeah. And so I did let you know that our Suburban, we put it up for sale today. So
nice.
we'll see what we can get for that. If we can get what we're wanting, then that'll recoup some money from what we put out for the new car. If not, then whatever, it's fine. We're just kind of done with it and ready for it to move on to the next owner.
Yeah.
But sort of a last point on cars. I'm here to tell you folks, don't buy a classic car. Don't buy a classic car. So August 2018 marks a year to the date ish of me buying a 1981 Volkswagen Vanagon. Because I wanted a unique car. So my tale of woe is that I bought it. We drove 300 miles. 300 miles? I don't know. We drove like 150 miles, 300 round trip, out of town to look at it. The ad said it was running. He failed to say that it was running only in first, second, and third gear. And that fourth gear was dead. And that the shifter would randomly fall out of connection, so you couldn't shift at all. Yeah, so there are a lot of issues with it. So we got it. My wife is so gracious. She agreed to letting me buy it, I think for like $2,000. So a semi-running Vanagon for $2,000. I'm like, great, this is awesome. Just put a little work into it, and I got a really unique car that serves as a camper. A year and I think an extra $11,000 later, it's still not running. So...
I love it.
If we had video, you could see Chris's face. But he's followed along and got to hear all of my tales of the Vanagon. But yeah, it just we're kind of at the end of that as well. We're just gonna try and get it, sell it, you know, as is, and to some folks for somebody who wants a project, because it's a very big project to get that thing running.
Yeah.
So I paid probably, so add that up, it's like 14,000, and I got it running. It was running, and I drove it for exactly 50 miles.
Nice.
So if you want to do the math on the number
cost
of dollars.
Per mile.
What is that? 50.
50 of the most expensive miles of your life.
Yeah. 14. So divide by $280 a mile.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
And those weren't even air conditioned miles, because those suckers do not have air conditioning. So it was Texas heat, non air conditioned miles for 200. Yeah, that was a bad decision. I'll just say it was a bad decision.
Yeah. So was any part of it fun?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. The kids really liked the idea of it, the dream of like getting in this thing that transforms into a place you can sleep and cook food and turn the chairs around and have a little living room on wheels. They loved the idea. Like we would have little, you know, playtime or whatever in the driveway during cool months. And I worked out of it and for a day, and so it was fun, the idea of it. But just nope, there's hardly any parts made for it anymore, since it's what, 37 years old. And there are people who, there's a community around these cars, but mine is at the very beginning. It's in an odd year. The 80 through 82s had a lot of issues that they got redesigned. So 83 to 91 model years are way different. And that's the bulk of the vehicles, and that's all the parts get created for, and people have extra engines for. So yeah, it's just, I didn't know all this going into it. But it was a huge education, and I can just say now I just don't want to deal with classic cars anymore, because I was relying on a mechanic who had the know-how, but he was just one dude, and his timelines were sort of on his time, and there's no like businesses locally that specialize in them, so it's just a huge money pit. So, but we're kind of done with that as well. So we're just going to go back to being a one car family and probably get a second car later this spring. I mean, later this fall.
Oh, you're gonna?
So yeah, because I might do the lift only, going to the co-working space thing for about a month or two and see how that goes. But eventually we do want a second car, just because our kids are older. You know, I have a sixth grader now, and she's going to like events and she needs to be driven around. So
yeah,
it'll just be more convenient. So
cool.
Two car family. So awesome. Well, I think we've kind of reached our end, and really this episode just turned into cars, 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 because
that's good. It's a fun subject.
We had opinions. But,
yeah. The opinions of cars are totally great.
Yeah.
Yeah. In other words, I like that I have read enough to become of the opinion that cars are terrible expenses and you should spend the least amount of money possible on them. Mm-hmm. It really helps get over that idea of I want a fancy car and like a fancy car means anything. And you know what I mean? It's just like getting over that mental hurdle that you're kind of like that's ingrained into you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So just drop that idea. Get over it. Do the math. And that's why I love that people that run that blog, just math the shit out of it.
Yeah.
If the math tells you can have your fancy car, then get your fancy car because you've earned it. But if the math tells you you're broke as a joke, stay out of that car dealership, then stay out of the car dealership. So cool. All right, Chris. Well, thanks for chatting cars this episode. Where can people find you on the net?
All right. I am Fideliper on Twitter. You can check out my site, serviceforhackers.com, to learn about web servers, especially if you're a programmer and web servers is not your main thing, if you're a full-time job, and the site will really help you.
Yep, cool. And I'm GrowDev on Twitter and Instagram, and my plugin shop is shopplugins.com, and then I blog probably once a year over at daniel.gd, but that has a link to all my other stuff too. So yeah, my Twitter, I use a now page, like I think Derek Sivers did, like, so it's daniel.gd/now. It's sort of like, what am I doing, where am I at, what am I working on? So it's all there. So,
is GD is GD a fortunate TLD that you found for Grow Dev? But like that GD is one you can buy.
GD is just the shortest. It's the only top level domain that I could find for that had Daniel as the name. Okay. So, because like Daniel.com, Daniel.io, Daniel.
But GD for Grow Dev is kind of perfect.
It kind of fits, yeah. It's a little bit, even though it's TLD for Grenada, but
right.
Whatever. I'll give Grenada some love.
no problem.
Yeah. So that's it for episode 4. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week for more opinions.
All right. Thanks. See you later.